I grew up in a little bitty church and we didn't have very many kids, and then VBS, and we would use the backyard and open the side doors and all the skits and snacks and graham crackers with icing. That was a big deal. And my grandma often did the music, and so I got a double dose because she lived next door practicing that. And one of the songs that was in my memory that we did at some point was, Joshua built the battle of Jericho, Jericho. He fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. You may not have heard that song, but I bet you've heard that story. And that's where we're going to pick up today. That's a story that we know, march around, boom, walls fall down. But there's so much more for us to glean from that. And I hope that you'll get some of these wonderful pieces that I gained as I studied. I like to figure out how these stories fit into the overall. And we've been talking about how do some of these stories point to Jesus. And so we're going to go backwards before we go forward and put the story in context a little bit. So God had given Abraham the promise that he was going to have a nation that would be as numerous as the stars, and these people were going to have a land, right? And then we had the Israelites, and they were freed from their slavery in Egypt, and they're led by Moses, and they're out, and they're wandering, and they have this moment that they are really almost to the promised land. They're going to take the short route. But Moses sends out 12 spies. And when he does, 10 of them come back and say, oh my goodness, we can't do it. We can't. Walls are too big, these cities, these giants, we can't do it. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, come back and say, we've got this. That's God's plan. We can do this. But as is human nature, a lot of times when there are people who say no, we can be influenced by that, right? And so the rest of Israelites, like 10 of them, said, no, we can't do it, we can't do it. So what does God do? He says, well, you need some character building, right? I'm a parent. Okay, we need some character building here. And sends them the long route. And so they're in the wilderness for 40 years. That generation does not get to see the promised land. Moses saw it, right, from up above, but didn't get to cross into the promised land himself. And because of their distrust, because of their disobedience. So we get the handoff. The next part is Moses to Joshua. Okay, Joshua, one of those two spies that's God-filled. And he's been Moses' assistant, and he's a good guy, pretty humble guy. When he makes mistakes, I like, as you read on past what we're doing today, gets on his knees, hey, I should have sought you first, Lord. And just very good leader for us to emulate some qualities of. But he gets the handoff from Moses, and we're going to kind of pick up there. That's what you'll see in the bulletin. It's important to note that Joshua was alive during the time he was born when they were still slaves in Egypt. He would have witnessed the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and manna from heaven and all of those, God's provision while they're in the wilderness, which I think is important because when we know things and we remember God being with us, right, then we can trust he's going to carry us through the next one. So Joshua has that kind of in his own tool belt, or has that as ammunition in his mind, that God can do big things. But there in Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9, you can see that I'm really looking at verse 8, and it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful, do everything there, and you will be prosperous and successful. And then this is often quoted, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You stay in me, and I've got your back, right? Stay with me. The cool thing, we're not going to read all of Joshua, but at the end, when he hands off leadership, that's the advice he gives. Stay with me. Stay with the Lord, all right? And he will be with you wherever you go. The next little bit is that God has to show the Israelites, hey, he's my man now, right? He's the person. And so he does some things that kind of help them see that. But the crazy thing is that, okay, remember, 12 spies went out, Joshua is one, they come back, negativity, and then they have to go in the wilderness. Joshua, right before they take Jericho, sends out two spies. I don't know if I would have done that. I'm like, no, the spies messed it up last time, right? And then we were in the wilderness forever. But he sends out two. Hey, go scope out Jericho. That's where we're going to be headed first. bring back, you know, some news. They interact with somebody named Rahab, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But they come back and they say, it's good. They have a positive outlook. We can do this. And so just like with Moses, there's some cool parallels between Joshua and Moses. So many. That'd be a fun study. But just like he had parted the Red Sea with Moses, he then parts the Jordan with Joshua, and they go across the Jordan River. And they get to the other side, and God says, hey, grab 12 stones. Let's build something here and so that you remember, right? Don't forget, I'm with you wherever you go. So they build a little memorial. They have some time where they have to kind of make them vulnerable, but the men of this generation hadn't been circumcised, so they do that. They have a time of healing. They celebrate the Passover right before they're going into battle, right? They do these things. But they do that, and then they get ready to head out. Now, this is where fear and doubt would just be trying to rear its ugly head, because you've got the Jordan at the back, and you have Jericho in front. And I'm like, that is Satan's favorite position, is that when we've got something tough behind us and tough in front of us, that's an opportunity, right? Where we're like, oh no, oh no. I mean, he did bring me through that, but I don't know. There's another thing. And so it could be with these obstacles that it just would be tough. Crazy thing is, all right, is that this is the hardest city that they are going to have to take. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I don't know what you're like if you have a long list to do, and you're like, man, I'm gonna get the hardest thing done first. That way, everything else just easy, right? Just clean up with that. Or if you're more like, I'm gonna do all the little things, and then I'll just have that left. But this, they're gonna start with the main number one thing. I think of it like this. I like sports, and you get, oh man, we got a good team this year. We can go far in the tournament, I think, and then you get the draw, number one seed. We're going to have to face the number, oh my goodness, you know, we're going to get knocked out the first round of sectionals again. Okay, we would have to face them anyway if we go as far as we want to go. So let's just do it right at the beginning, and we will either get obliterated or we will make our mark, right? Well, Jericho is the number one seed, right? As God says, we're doing that one first. And so I want to give you a picture of Jericho. This helped me because I think in my own recalling of these songs that I think Joshua built the battle up, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. I think in my elementary mind, I think this is the wall, right? That up somewhere in my history, they probably built this up and we got to march around and knock it down, right? But that's not the wall. It's not this wall. You cannot believe the wall that they took. You just can't believe it. So this is the oldest inhabited city, most fortified, double walls. It's a city that sits 800 feet below sea level. So it's like an oasis in the desert. It has a spring-fed water that's coming in. A lot of times you'll see that there's a king there, there's the elite. It's probably about 8 acres, and they estimate maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people. It's an estimate, right? Excavations have been going on for 100 years, and we're going to get into some of the findings of that. But it's important to note as we look at Jericho that Jesus also was at Jericho at different times. I liked it, you know, where is Jericho? Where is it located now? What was it called? Right, it's on the mound. You're just kind of looking. It's still in history, trying to figure that out. And but this at Jesus' time, still gateway city, important north, south, east, west. But when he healed the blind man outside of Jericho, Zacchaeus, tax collector, Jericho. Okay, so just like, oh, reference point of that. But I've got some photos, and this really helped me that you can see what this was like. All right, so you can see there's a revetment wall, then you got a lower wall, then you have some houses. That's where the commoners would live in that, says rampart. And then you have the next wall, and the elite or royalty or what would be in that upper wall. And I am spatially challenged. I have The Lord gave me so many gifts and I'm so appreciative. But I, when it comes to space, I cannot visualize. I don't know. I know how tall I am. And usually if I need to measure something, I'm like, well, if I lay down and then I flip myself over again and again, that's how I measure in my mind. And some of you are so gifted in this. But one of my friends, David Barnes, is really good and he's just a faithful servant. And so I was asking him some questions. And he said, well, I'm going to be at the church. I'll go look around. So this, you can see where the men are standing up to that first wall. That first wall would have been about 12 to 15 feet, which is kind of like from the stage floor up to the bottom of the screens. And then the next wall that sits on top of that is about 20 feet, 20, 25, the estimate, which would be from the stage floor up to the top of the screens. But those two walls are stacked on top of each other, which is about like the stage floor up to, they say that's about 35 feet. That's just that first wall. And then there's that embankment that sits at like a 45-foot angle or something like that. Again, I'm talking things. This is beyond my gifts. But up, and then we have the next wall, and it was another 20 feet. So I'm told that if we went out to the front of the church, our big cross, and we looked at that in the front of the church up to the peak, 65 feet. That's about what we're talking about. Downtown campus, we've been there 45 feet to the top of the building, so they'd have to add a little bit. This is not the wall, right? This is not the wall. This, and it was thick. Now this is where, okay, if I laid down here, I'm 5 feet, 6 feet at least thick, okay? It's a thick, monstrous wall. Just think of this whole front filled. That's the wall we're talking about. Normal way to take a city like that would have been to starve them out. If it had a single wall, maybe they build a mound of dirt, but still they're going to have casualties. It's a long game. But as we know, it's going to how they're going to take this wall is just a little bit different. I'm sure they were looking up and saying, no way. I mean, I'm not going to say it because we know what happened to our dads. And then they were out there. I'm not going to say it, but right? This is going to be tough. Pause here. Okay. Part of the application of this story to our own lives is that we all have our own Jerichos that we face. And some of those are internal things that we battle, right? We have just our mental health sometimes and mind, getting our minds ready. This morning, I felt like I'm facing Jericho. So I'm like, get ready for this thing here. External, our finances, relationships, right? We all have those Jerichos that we're facing, and we can get stuck looking up at that wall. Oh, man, this is behind me. I can't go back looking up at that wall. We can get stuck. But the greatest thing, when we see a dead end, we serve a Lord who's a construction genius. He could say those numbers way better than me, right? He sees breakthroughs where we see dead ends. So it takes a lot to kind of set up. All right, where are we? Who's Joshua? This wall? What? All right, we've got that. Now Joshua is ready. I get geeked out on some of this stuff as I'm thinking about it. But I do have to be careful to keep this wall out of my head because my mom and dad were here first service, which was so sweet. They live a couple hours away. And my dad sings a lot, and he used to sing, then the walls, mighty walls came tumbling down, and the walls came tumbling down. Different Jericho song. Still happy. They're like victorious. They sound so lighthearted that I just like, oh, you just march around and woo, right? It just comes down. They're minus the stress. They're minus the tension. They're minus all of that. Those songs are when the wall came down. But to really understand a celebration, right? To really understand, I said some of you are older and there's the, and that's the rest of the story, right? To understand the celebration, we have to understand the whole story. That sheds light on certain chapters. When you hear somebody finish cross-country race, which I love cross-country, watching people cheer for each other, the spectators running. And, but when you hear that somebody finished it and they have severe asthma, or they just had somebody they love who passed the day before, crazy things like that, you're like, what? And they won? They won. I do direct plays a lot, and the audience says, that was a great show, and I think, oh, I have no idea, right? They don't see the piece where it took all of that to get there. They don't feel that stress. Joshua knew the stress. Okay, he knew what they'd been through, what they were facing, and he was carrying that. So just before he gets ready to take the city with his other folks, he goes out by himself. And it doesn't say if he was going out to pray or if he was going out to do some recon or what, but he is there, and he's by the wall, and he looks up, and you've got this in your bulletins of scripture there, says he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Oh, man, I'm supposed to lead them. I'm about to die myself, right? Are you for us or for our enemies? Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And so he says he's standing on holy ground, and just Moses has a moment, burning bush, right? Joshua has a moment here. Lord says, I'm with you, and I'm going to give you some instructions. What I like about Joshua is that time and time again, he responds, just has the right response. He's humble, or if he makes a mistake, he gets on his knees. He's there to scope out the problem somehow, and God's right in the middle, right? He looks up, and God's right in the middle of it. He's ready for battle at this point. Joshua's met with the Lord. He's gotten instructions. He's personally prepared. Preparation's the key. Lots of people say that. I got to meet, he was older, but my husband was at a football, basketball conference. It was just a coach's conference, and John Wooden was there. I was like, can I go? Can I go? And he was little and frail, but he still had a presence about him. And he said, confidence comes from being prepared. Right? I'm sure Rick Carlisle or Gino or Summit or whoever, Coach K, whoever you are, like, that's the winning person. Confidence comes from being prepared. Preparation breeds confidence. Josh was prepared. He's been with Moses, right? Now he's been with the Lord. He's watched. He's been out as a spy before. He's sent. I mean, he is as prepared as he can be. But still, we're at this wall, not this wall. So chapter 6, we'll pick up. Now we're in the story that we're really going to talk about today. The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. When those two spies went, they met Rahab. And she hid them, and they had a plan. They were under this, and let everybody else go out and hunt for you, and then I'll release you. And but while they were there, they kind of exchanged these promises. She said, we have heard about your God. We serve the moon god, Jericho means. But your God is not limited. He's a God of war. He's a God of nature. I mean, we've heard about the provisions, the water from rocks and manna from heaven. And I'm interested in this God. And they said, do you put a scarlet cord there? And when we come to take the city, yes, we'll save you. And we'll talk to us a little more about that as we get going. But Jericho is on lockdown. They're like, ooh, that's a big, we are staying in. Obviously, you're not coming in, but we are not going out. And remember the old way to battle, kind of the battle strategy would have been to starve them out. The second verse there is the Lord says to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. What? I delivered Jericho. It's over. We haven't even started, right? English teachers, it's a future perfect tense. The victory's already been secured, right? It's a parallel to salvation, right? Jesus has already done the work. Just follow my plan. Come on, come my way. The price has been paid. It's done. It's not going to be your might that does it. It's my power, God's power. Then verses 3-6, this is the part that we know somewhat, is they're going to march around the city, and they're going to have their trumpets, and they're going to shout, and it's going to fall down, and then they'll go in and take the city. Verse 6, Joshua, pause for a Bible joke, who's the only biblical character who had no father other than Adam. Joshua. Son of Nun. Thank you, Tim Weeks, for that dad joke, right? He said, you got to have this one if you're doing Joshua. Okay. But Joshua, son of Nun, all right, called the priest, said, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to lead. This is the order we're going in. There's a certain order and the ark in the middle, and we're going to march and this. Can you imagine if you have your own right mind about you? Many of you are leaders of leaders, and your leaders ask you questions like, now what? This is the most wicked opponent. They're doing horrific sins. They must not care about people and the value of life or anything like that. And we are going to take them by marching, woo, right? Marching and cheering. You're crazy. That is not a good military strategy. But aside, they might have been saying, I'm not sure we can do it any other way, right? We're out of slavery. We've been wandering. We don't have catapults and ladders. There's no other way. But God's plan was unconventional. Joshua may have had questions himself, but he did not lead that way. Maybe because he'd seen plagues, Red Sea parted, Jordan parted. You know, he has these things, but he leads in confidence. Sometimes I think in my own life, I should keep a journal, right, of those places that God showed up and did it. And I wouldn't doubt. I wouldn't, but I think I'm more like the Israelites sometimes, like, oh, what? new obstacle today. But Joshua just leads confidently. The awesome thing is that the forefathers of the generation that are about to take the promised land wouldn't have been like that. At least that's what the stories tell us, right? That they were filled with distrust and negativity, and negativity just upsets the whole spirit of everything. If you've ever gone to do something and you've got that complainer with you, that person, I played volleyball in high school and we didn't have liberos then, but lots of back row work, and I'm down and my friend over here would get aced, and I really think part of my job of being there, I can move, right? I can take the ball. But when she misses it, okay, she gets aced, that girl just went down in the dumps. You know those people? It's like one mistake. You're like, it's a long game. Get up, get up. And our scoring was different then when I played. Get up. But your attitude, right, it infects everybody else. And if you have that negativity, it just can break. So keeping attitude in check is a big deal. So Joshua is telling God's unconventional plan, we don't want to go back to what happened before where we say we can't do it. I hope but the cool thing is this generation of Israelites did. They accepted the plan. They marched. And, you know, get home, wives ask, how'd it go today? I mean, we marched about 30 minutes. I got my steps in. I guess we're going out and marching again tomorrow. And you took the ark with you. It had been done, but it wasn't the most common thing to have the ark in battle. Okay. And so you're just walking with the ark, and yeah, that's what we're doing. We're just walking. We're quiet. You're kidding me, bro. Yeah, I mean, really, that's like crazy. Well, honey, where's my super suit? I got to go out and do it again tomorrow, right? March, 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 march. You can't talk while you're doing it? No, we can't talk. No complaining, though. I'm thinking it, you know, some, but I like that. In the Weeks household, we say Weeks don't whine. We're still working on our youngest. Weeks don't whine, no whining, right? Keep that in check. Keep that in check. March, 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 quiet. But even that part is really unconventional if you think about it. They have to be quiet. No battle talk, no trash talk. We're bringing our A game. What are you bringing? Huh? Right? No trash talk. No, like, pump up music. Right? Rocky, Eye of the Tiger, whatever. Ours was Hanging Tough. New Kids on the Block. We'd get our jumps in, get ready to go. Right? None of that. Which is crazy. We live in a world that noise, right? There's TV on. People walk around with one headphone in their ear. They like their music, right? Quiet. But creating that space allows God to speak. And so they have this quiet time. But I still think getting a group of people quiet, that is a challenge. I just did a drama camp. We had 80 kids there, and about half of them were 5 through 9. And we'd given them little pirate hats and patches and and they were so excited. We're like, pinky promise, right? Pinky promise that you'll be quiet, pinky. We'd hold the pinky up. Then they start, shh, shh. You know, the good kids are trying to shush the other ones. Shh, shh, shh. Remember that from elementary? Shh, shh, shh. Then the leader starts, I mean, keeping a group quiet is a challenge. But this is to note, they were obedient. They were obedient with the plan that God had laid out. Plan's unusual, right? Superstitious athletes wouldn't have worked here. No, nope, we're not putting those socks on. This is a different kind of plan. And they were obedient, even though they didn't understand the plan fully. The other thing that's kind of cool with the ark there, I think about that. What if we had to pick up God's presence every day and carry it with us? Right? When I was in college, I played a character who was pregnant, and I hadn't been. I don't know. Apparently, I wasn't walking the way that I should have. And my director was like, let's grab a stage weight, and you carry that around for a day. You wear a hoodie, put it inside that hood. I'm like, I was a weird kid. I did that on my college campus, but I like to get the A. So if somebody said I was going to have to do it, I'd probably do it, you know. But I never forgot that stage weight was in my hoodie, right? I mean, you just know. And that's where the Lord was with them physically in the battle. They're carrying this. This is the Lord's battle. It's easy to remember, and I think for us that might be good if we had to do that a little bit. But it forced them to remember that. So 6 days, they march around once each of those 6 days. So I fought my battles. This is what it was. I fought my battles. Oh. Right? Not this wall. Not this wall. Right? The wall he can take. So on the seventh day, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And you've got all these seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, seven times. That's another study, right? Seven means completion and wholeness, and the promise that was given to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. So we're getting to that, that piece of wholeness, and the evil that is there is going to be blotted out. The plan was unusual. March on the Sabbath, yeah? It's the Lord's day. If he commanded it, we're going to do what the Lord asks. But this is my favorite part, really. Well, there's two. I like another part we're going to talk about. This one. Cool thing is that they had to shout before the walls came down. Right? They had to believe, because probably, yay! I mean, I don't know. What did they shout? You walls, come, do not be afraid. I don't know. What did they shout? But they're shouting before the walls have fallen. And it just tells me when we're in questionable territory, we still have got to praise. When we're uncertain, we're with the Lord. We've been, you know, talking with him, but we have to give him the praise. Our weapons and strategies are different than the world's. And it's very easy for us because we're in the world, right? We're hearing that. And, maybe I should do it that way. Maybe I should do it that way. And we've got to stay with the Lord because his weapons and strategies are different. Now, I'm going to skip 17 through 19 because in this chapter, it's like they tell us the instructions, then they go do the instructions. So everybody loves a good action movie. So go to the action, which is verses 20 to 21. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, the men gave out a loud shout, and the wall collapsed. Everybody went in, took the city, took everything in it there. That's usually where the story stops, is that the walls fell down. Cool thing is they fell in such a way, those big walls, that the men could go up into the city. But that's where battle won, Israelites defeated, hey, trust God with your battle plans. But when we get to the adult piece of this, that's where our minds start to get in the way a little bit. Josh did a good job with Noah, Brant with Jonah, of reminding us that is not the real story. It's okay to stop there, to pause there. But how did those walls come down? I mean, was it like the frequency of their voices with the natural frequency? That's for the scientists or physicists in the room or something. I don't know, beyond me. But I watch those videos where I can sing at a certain pitch, right? The glass, the resonance causes the glass. And you can see some where they break. So is that how they took the walls? I don't know. Well, this is over where there's a lot of seismic activity. It doesn't say earthquake, but maybe, I think that's just an earthquake that happened. He's already proven he is the God of nature. He can part the seas, all that. In my opinion, if he wants to take it that way, he can. He did it. He did it. And this is what I love. This is stuff that it boosts my faith. I love archaeological evidence. I love when there are discoveries. I'm like, what? You found something. You found it. It's crazy. God giving us just a little, right? Just a little bit. What? We found the walls? There's one section that didn't come down. There's evidence of burning. There's grain left, burnt grain. Well, it wasn't a long siege then because they didn't eat all of that. There's grain left. They didn't plunder this. They didn't take that. No, it said, don't take it. One guy did. We're not going to do that. That's the next part. But don't take anything. And that's been found. For me personally, those are the kinds of things where I'm like, you'll see things where it's like a couple archaeologists get down there and they're like, oh, the carbon dating. This one says yes. This one says no. This one says yes. This one says no. I'm like, our human brains can't quite figure out all of that, but they found that. That is nuts. And for me, it just solidifies like, hey, let's keep going on this thing, God. God's power, his presence, that's what took these walls down, right? This is the other best part of the story. Verses 22 to 23, Joshua said to the two men, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. And this part you don't hear in Bible school, and probably they don't want to describe Rahab, but it's just, oh my goodness. That's so beautiful. Rahab and her family, one way to be saved, put this scarlet cord out, right? One way, Jesus Christ, one way. And if you want to know more about that, prayer room's open at the end, first steps, but one way. And she did it. Her belief led others to safety. And I stopped because I struggle. What? Everybody was dead. There was time. When you look at Rahab's story, she says, we have heard about your God. We've heard about him during those 40 years you were in the wilderness. There's time. They've heard about him. That's opportunity, right? The spies come in. Rahab hides them. The people are out. We got to find. I hear there's spies, right? Oh, there's time. These people, they're crazy. They're marching around these walls, right? 7 days, 13 times, right? There's time and opportunity. It didn't just have to be Rahab and her family. But the coolest thing is that Rahab has that moment where it's like, I think that's the real God, this God we're serving, not it. When we are face to face with our own Jerichos, we can be like Joshua. And some of you are further along in your faith or having a good day or whatever. But seeking God, honoring him, admitting our mistakes. Or we can ignore all the signs, like many of those Canaanites did. Just ignore the signs. Our goal is to be like Rahab, right? Once we know, once we have that realization, I imagine a game of sardines. I like games. But come on, get in my house. My mom, it says mom, father, brother, sisters. She brought them in. When we choose to be in his presence, it's his promise, his plan. And then his people, our prayers, those are weapons to tear down our spiritual Jerichos. Being in his presence with his promises, his people, our prayers, and there are other weapons, but those are just some that can tear those down. Sometimes, and I just was thinking as I was going through that, you know, we have some circumstances that they are not changing. And you can think of those. If miracles happen, it'd be like an unbelievable miracle. But there are some circumstances that we live with. But the walls are, how do we live with it in peace? How do we live with that in bringing glory to him? Right? The thorn in the side kind of thing I'm thinking, right? How do we still bring glory to him? And here's the thing we have to remember. We fight from a place of victory. We fight from a place of victory. The battle has been won. Victory's been secured by Jesus. Not by our might, by his power. Ever try to do anything on your own might? I'm like, if the Israelites march around, right? It's, the walls are not coming down. It's God's power. I think my oldest daughter, very scrappy athlete, like the volleyball, basketball, softball, where scrappiness makes a difference. But she tried golf in middle school, and she hits a bad shot, and she is over. We're just watching her like, no. right? Your own might is not always going to be able to get it done. Knocking down this wall. Now, this wall, your might, yeah, we can. But this wall, no, God's power. And so the Israelites knew God first. It's our only chance for the walls coming down. Not our strategy and, hey, God, can you check this off? With God's plans first, the walls will come down. And the Israelites knew it. The Canaanites knew it. That can only be by God. That can only be by God. Marching and shouting is not going to get that down. So Joshua was the leader of the people, but God was the leader of Joshua. The song should be something, not Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but something like, Joshua is the God who fought the battle of Jericho. Not as catchy, right? But the Lord is fighting your battle. Under the new covenant, the Lord has defeated our enemy. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Our spiritual weapons destroy Satan's fortresses. They may not change overnight. I think that's one of the hardest things, right? Is that you might be in that 13th, just on the verge of that 13th lap, or you might be at day 6.5, however you want to look at it. And it's tough not to get answers, to be in that waiting period. And sometimes we break down one wall, we get across the Jordan, and we got to Jericho. Those are tough times to keep marching. But this just has so many things. Keep marching with God at the center. Keep marching and listening. Keep marching. And if it feels like this is too hard, get some people to march with you. Joshua did not march those walls around those walls by himself. So if you're like, I can't go any further, get some people to march. If you look at it and you're like, this journey is just going to be hard, get some people to march with you. The walls are to shake, not your faith, right? We want to keep our faith intact. So we're reminded in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell, and by faith, the prostitute Rahab was welcomed. And this is a story that, I mean, in my VBS memories, it's not the part that I remember. One of the most beautiful parts often left out. Joshua sent 2 spies. I mentioned it earlier. Why? I don't think I would have done that. I just don't think, because I was with the 10 that said, Joshua sent 2 spies out. Hey, go check this out. And they met Rahab. Right? Sent those 2 spies, we wouldn't have Rahab, we wouldn't have that mercy in that way. I just don't like he still sent the spies. That's crazy. We serve a merciful God. That's what it brings me to. Rahab describes, you can look at, get on there, say Rahab, and see how many times she's described as Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the pot, until she's not. That's the craziest thing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it's listing out the genealogy of Jesus. Makes me cry. Rahab, the mother of Boaz, the great, great, I don't know how many greats it would be, grandmother of David, the great, 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 great of Jesus. Of Jesus! She's in that genealogy of Jesus. She saved her family. She said, this is the real God. She listened. It does not matter how far gone you are. I got to talk to some great people after first service, and they're thinking about, yes, that is so helpful. It doesn't matter how far away somebody we love is. Rahab was living, a commoner, in the outer part of the lower level. And she found God. She exercised faith in action, and her legacy was changed. She listened and was obedient, and the walls came tumbling down. This is a wall. as big as that is. Rahab, not Rahab. Rahab, no, what, this wall? Joshua was the leader who could have been consumed by worry and fear, but listened and followed. The Israelites on this day could have been consumed by uncertainty, but they marched obediently and praised anyway. Rahab could have been consumed by hopelessness, but because of faith, God made a way through. So the questions, we've been having questions, right? Ark or idols with Josh's tables, with Jonah, where are you comfortable, where are you made uncomfortable? Where is it that you need to let go of consuming fear and worry and doubt and trust? He's marching right with you. This morning I kept talking to myself, I'm like, it's Jericho today. It's Jericho today, right? Worry, fear, doubt, like that is right here in your face. Trust, he's marching right with you. Or harder yet, where do you need to give him praises, trusting him with the battle, praising him before the walls come down? Well, all good VBSs have a lot of kids, right? And adults teach the kids. And I thought, we can't do VBS without a kid somewhere, because kids can teach us a lot too. So Sadie, who, if you know our story, is a little bit of an unconventional plan for our home, she is going to help us to remember to praise. Even when the plan's uncertain, you cannot let worry take you down. Praise, praise, praise.
Look at the birds, how free they fly. Look at the lilies growing so wild. No, they don't wonder if rain's gonna fall down, or if the sun will ever come on out. So I won't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. I got about a million reasons to praise you. I got about a million stories to tell. To tell about how you always make ways through. I may not know where we're going, but I know that it's gonna be good.
Some of you are facing big Jerichos. I know it breaks my heart, right, that you have to battle these things. But giving him the praise, listening to him, letting people who want to march with you in. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for who you are and what you've laid out before us. And Lord, when it's hard to face, our worry consumes us, the walls are big. Oh, Lord, help us to remember to pick you up and bring you into the middle of it if we haven't already. And if we've done that, Lord, help us just to lean into the plans that you have. We're not always going to understand them. They are not going to make sense. But Lord, help us walk that out. Help us reach the promised land that you have for us, and help us to do it in a way that we're like Rahab and we just bring more people along. All this we pray in your son's precious name. Amen.